I mentioned that we are on the threshold of the great solemnity of the Assumption, that's tomorrow. Here in Anuwim, we're looking forward to two celebrations. One, the Assumption, and then the very next day, our commitment day. Four of our sisters will be making their commitment as Anuwim associates for the first time. Three of them are here. So we're praying for that. It's part of our celebration of this month of glory. It's glorious to see Jesus transfigured last week, Mary assumed tomorrow, Mary reigning in her queenship next week. Let's ponder for a moment these readings. Today's first reading is the marvelous story of the miraculous crossing of the Jordan, and then the gospel is about the necessity of forgiveness and the problem of unforgiveness. It might seem like these two readings are not connected, but actually you could consider forgiveness a kind of boundary that we must cross over. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck in the wilderness forever. So let's start with this crossing over of the boundary of the Jordan River, the boundary between the wilderness, symbolically the wilderness anyway, and the Promised Land. The Israelites have been in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, at last, they cross over into the Promised Land. So crossing the Jordan is the crossing of a very significant boundary. The Jordan River is not that significant, actually, geographically, but symbolically, it's has huge significance. It's like the other water miracles in the Old Testament. They're all actually symbolic of baptism. The flood in Noah's day, parting of the Red Sea, Moses, now the crossing of the Jordan with Joshua. These are all symbolic of baptism. In baptism, we cross over from the territory of sin to the territory of grace, death to life. So that's what this miracle represents as well. But sometimes people say, well, actually, the crossing of the Red Sea with Moses, led by Moses 40 years earlier, that's symbolic of baptism. And then the journey in the wilderness is symbolic of our life here on earth. And then the crossing of the Jordan is actually a symbol of what happens when we die and enter into the Promised Land of heaven. So see, the stages of our pilgrimage are represented by these miracles. The necessity of crossing over this boundary is what I'm stressing here, because I want to compare it to the necessity of forgiving, which is the topic of the gospel. We'll come back to this first reading in a moment, but let's just ponder this gospel here. It's about forgiveness. I mean, Peter raises the question of forgiveness. How many times must I forgive my brother when he sins against me? How many times? There has to be some kind of a limit, right? That's the way we think. I mean, how many times can we forgive after all? I mean, after a while, it's not fair. It's unjust to keep forgiving and forgiving, right? That's what we think. That's what Peter thinks. And he's quite generous. In fact, he's willing to forgive seven times. It's a lot. And Jesus blows up that whole idea. No, not seven times. 77 times. Limitless. How could he say such a thing? How could he expect us to be limitless in our forgiveness? Because that's how God treats us. That's how God forgives us. How many times has God forgiven you? How many times? Can you count them? I can't count how many times. Thousands and thousands of sins. Not only that, but we know God is ready to forgive even sins we haven't even committed yet. We know that's true. He's merciful. And that doesn't give us permission to just go on sinning. But we know that when we're reflecting on the mercy of God, we're talking about something without limits, an ocean of mercy. That's how God looks at us. He's ready to forgive. Now, it doesn't mean that he forgives if we're not repentant. Because if we don't cross over, what can he do? But if we're willing to cross over, if we're willing to repent, leave sin behind, ask for forgiveness, God is always willing. He never reaches a limit. In the parable that Jesus tells to teach this, the first part of the parable is the king forgiving this servant who has a huge debt. That's exactly our situation before God. A great representation. You might say, well, how did this guy get into such a huge debt to the king in the first place? Well, that's how lenient this king is. And that's how lenient God is to us, that he gives us the freedom to get into this huge debt. In our foolishness, in our weakness, in our sinfulness, yes, we get into a huge debt, impossible for us to pay back. What's the solution? The mercy of the king. In our case, the mercy of God. That's the beautiful part of this parable, the extraordinary compassion of this king. He forgives the loan because the man begged him. The ugly side of this parable is when that servant meets a fellow servant and demands repayment. And this is symbolic of how we treat one another, how we treat those who have offended us. We don't realize how ugly we are when we refuse to forgive. We don't realize how unjust we are when we refuse to forgive, because we're focused on the offense against us, and we say, well, it's not fair for that person to keep doing that to me. I want to make him pay. That's how it seems to us. But if we could step back and see ourselves in light of how God sees us, then we will see that we are obliged to be merciful to others. This is what the king says to this servant. He says, should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? It applies to us. Should we not be forgiving to our brothers and sisters as God has been forgiving to us? Now, I want to go back to this image of the crossing of the Jordan and connect it to this idea of forgiveness. The challenge of forgiveness is a big one. And it's not that easy to do. And many people fail. We all fail. But people who are not trying to follow the Lord, they fail miserably. But forgiveness is at the very heart of our identity as Christians. It's right at the heart of our prayer, the Our Father, right? The Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we don't, well, then we block the whole project. Now, my point here is that we who are called to a more intense life of faith, we who've been drawn into a deeper understanding of how this works, we have a greater responsibility to stand as witnesses of forgiveness. And in this sense, we are like the priests holding the Ark of the Covenant. In this passage about crossing the Jordan, the whole nation crosses over. But a few, these priests, are the ones who hold the Ark, the ones who are the instruments by which the waters of the Jordan stopped. Now, yes, it's easy to apply this to, in our times, to our ordained clergy. The priests, the bishops, have been given the huge responsibility of carrying the gospel, carrying the sacraments, and making them available to everybody. That's true, and that's, I think, a legitimate application of this reading. But I think we can extend it a little bit to any dedicated Christians, and they're not very many. People whom God calls to serve him with greater intensity, to pray with greater fervor, to spend more time in adoration, to come to Mass on a Thursday morning. Not many people can do that, and not many people even want to. But a few do, and that's those who are here. I'm thinking also of our committed Anuwim associates. You say four of them are going to make their commitment for the first time on Saturday. Well, not many people are called to be Anuwim members, but a few are. And those few have the responsibility to hold the grace up for the benefit of everybody else. This is true of everybody. People in consecrated life, people who are called to dedicate themselves to particular ministries. There's always a few who carry more of the burden, more of the responsibility, more of the grace, for the benefit of everybody. So this is a good way to understand our call, including our honorary call. We've been given a grace, which is also a responsibility, which can benefit everybody, even people who don't even know, and whom we don't know. Did those priests holding the ark, standing in the waters, did they know everybody who crossed over? No. There were thousands of people. Thousands of people. They didn't know them all, but they served them all. And that's what we do when we take seriously the call to forgive. When we forgive, not only are we being set free ourselves, not only are we participating ourselves in the great ocean of mercy, but we become instruments by which or by whom other people get the benefit. We become witnesses. The great, great examples, of course, are the saints, Saint Maximilian Kolbe today. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, in the death camp, volunteered to take the place of one prisoner, and he saved the life of one prisoner. That's extraordinary, to lay down your life for just one person. But the fruit of Saint Maximilian Kolbe's sacrifice is more than just that one guy. It's actually a huge number. In fact, all of us are benefiting from it right now. This witness of selfless love, of sacrifice for others. It's extraordinary, the impact of one man's sacrifice. Just like it's extraordinary, the impact of one small group of Levites holding up the ark, the whole nation gets the benefit. So let us take seriously the call to forgive and the call to follow the Lord, the call to serve the Lord, even in hidden ways nobody might know. But let's take seriously our responsibility to follow the Lord, because when we do, we're not the only ones who benefit. Everybody benefits. So let us be instruments of the reign of God in the world. Let us be instruments of the great pilgrimage of hope and of salvation for everybody in our own small ways.